The views and opinions expressed by guests on this program are not necessarily the views of Thinking Bigger Business Media, Inc. or its employees.
Welcome to Smart Companies Thinking Bigger Radio. Get the inside scoop on how America's most successful business owners transform their entrepreneurial vision into reality. And listen in as some of the top business minds in the country serve up practical advice, tips, and insights for growing your business. Now here's your host, Kelly Scanlon.
Good morning. Welcome to Smart Companies Radio. I'm Kelly Scanlon, publisher of Thinking Bigger Business Media. And our guest today is Susan Spaulding. She's the founder and leader of Recalibrate Strategies, and that's a consulting firm that helps leverage her experience in marketing, communications, and business to help other organizations recalibrate and grow their organizations. And she has just released a book by the same name, Recalibrate, a strategic guide for accelerated growth. And she's here to talk with us today about how we can use some of the principles in our businesses in order to grow them. Welcome to the show today, Susan.
Thank you, Kelly.
So Recalibrate, let's talk about the name of the book, the name of your company. When you say Recalibrate, what do you mean by that?
Well, when I think about Recalibrate, I remember that it's a verb.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to be a way of life and business today. With the ever-changing marketplace and increased competition, if a company's going to be a success and if a company's going to find the right growth strategies, they're going to be in a constant state of recalibration.
Absolutely. When you say it's a verb, too, that implies action.
It does.
It means you constantly are making those little fine adjustments, sometimes big ones, too, or you're not just standing still. In order to grow, you're going to have to take some action. And so very, very appropriate title there.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think it's really important to remember that companies can recalibrate at an evolutionary state and also a revolutionary state. Both aspects of change,
mm-hmm,
should always be on the table and should always be considered.
Let's talk about that. What would you say is the difference between an evolutionary state and a revolutionary state, and how might those little adjustments, those recalibrations, differ in each of those stages?
One of the people I interviewed, Rich Matthews with Newell Rubbermaid,
mm-hmm,
he has an incredible story about revolutionary change. And the example that I'm thinking about is his recent introduction of a whole new product category for his organization. He went through it in a very methodical way, and I had the pleasure of working with him, mm-hmm, to do that. And his business, as part of Newell Rubbermaid, is in the industrial tool category, and you wouldn't think that would be very exciting.
Right, right.
But it was.
Revolutionary.
Revolutionary. And the way they were able to make it revolutionary, first they did their homework,
mm-hmm,
and really understood what was out there and what product categories they could potentially inherit,
mm-hmm,
and develop as,
right,
part of their portfolio that would be adjacent, effectively adjacent, to what they already are known for.
Mm-hmm.
So we first went on a search for all the different kinds of product categories that were out there that would fit within their core competencies and that would reach the audiences that they already reach, and that's, mm-hmm, all different kinds of subcontractors. We zeroed in on HVAC.
Okay.
And we were out in the field all the time, climbing around the sites, talking to them, engaging them in the creation of the products that Lennox would move out into,
mm-hmm,
the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really exciting. And what happened, because those HVAC technicians were right beside us in this creation, Lennox was able to create revolutionary products, something that that particular industry had not seen,
mm-hmm,
in a very, very long time.
Sure.
This was launched about a year ago.
Okay.
It was the most successful launch they'd ever had.
Wow.
Of a product category and the products themselves.
Yeah.
So it was fun.
It sounds like it, especially all that crawling around. Now, one of the things that you said, though, is they did research. A lot of times there's a fine line. There's a balance. A lot of times companies will get a great idea and they'll go with it only to find out after they have invested so much time, so much money, that it really wasn't such a good idea after all. And there's that fine line between doing your research and taking a calculated risk based on that research and just jumping into something wholeheartedly without doing that. Because sometimes you can wait too, my point is sometimes you can wait too long. And then the opportunity is passed. So can you talk a little bit about that balance when you're going through this recalibration? I heard somebody tell me once, if you've got 60% of the knowledge, if you're 60% of the way there, go ahead and jump, go ahead and launch, whatever it is, and you'll figure the rest out as you go. I mean, what's your view on that?
I would agree. Otherwise, you can engineer yourself.
There you go. Right.
Forever.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to move. On the other hand, if you've developed a process and approach to recalibration, then you have the customers already involved. And you're going to be very market-driven in your decision-making. So that's what you really need to do is just make the customers part of your team.
Okay.
And that doesn't mean you have to do lengthy, formal research to gauge whether the product is going to work, although I'm certainly an advocate of that.
Sure.
Talk to two or three customers. Have them at the table as you brainstorm what this idea is and how it's going to work in the marketplace. Just having that much grounding with your customers can make all the difference.
Right.
And that doesn't have to take much time.
No, and an idea is great, but a paying customer is what keeps the lights on. And so to talk with your customers and find out that it's something somebody would pay for is really important.
You bring to mind one of the interviews that I conducted, and that was with Claire Brand, who is with Hallmark. And one of the things that they introduced into their mix is what they call Consumer Thursdays. And so they invite consumers in, and whatever ideas they happen to be working on, they share those ideas with the consumers in a very informal way. So the consumers are helping reshape the idea all the way along in a very casual and a very informal but provocative sometimes and meaningful ways.
Absolutely. The consumer or the customer is sometimes the best consultant, I mean, and I know you're a consultant, but I think you'd probably agree with that,
agree with that.
So let's go back to your book. We've talked a little bit about what recalibration is, what it means to recalibrate. Why did you decide to write the book? You've been doing this for a long time, espousing the principles and helping companies use what's in the book. Why did you decide to put it on paper?
I think as I continue to consult with clients, I just kept hearing more and more and more about the pursuit of growth strategies and how to figure out which ones are the right ones.
And so
I had the opportunity to survey a number of business executives, and it was fascinating to me that one of their number one issues was not really understanding what the customers valued in the process of where they should turn their company and make sure it was the best it could be. So with that as a backdrop, I thought it would make the most sense to apply what I've been doing all my career, and that's go out and talk to a lot of different people and listen to their stories and then be able to share those stories. Because to me, the easiest way to find a new idea and be able to absorb that new idea is through storytelling.
Absolutely.
And to hear what worked for some people and maybe what didn't work for others.
Right.
So I thought it would be fun to practice what I preach and go out and interview executives from small companies, from big companies, from all kinds of different industries, and gather what was
It's a great approach because, as you say, you hear it from people who've been there, done that, have experienced challenges, have found solutions. Some maybe still searching for solutions and can talk about what hasn't worked. But it's always good to see what could be something that's very theoretical put in practical terms that a company just like theirs or similar to theirs has experienced. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to be talking with Susan about the four tenets of recalibration. We'll be right back.
Do you practice entrepreneurship? Intrapreneurship? Do you know how to show what you know? Benedictine College Executive MBA program has been the launching pad for many successful innovative products, services, and ventures. As the only one-year executive MBA program in Kansas City, our conveniently located North Johnson County campus and weekend class times will fit your busy schedule. Go to benedictine.edu/EMBA to learn more about our program.
Hi, I'm Jason Lofton, CEO, President of QTI Incorporated. Every Friday, we discuss ways for small business owners to prosper and excel in their industry. So join us every Friday, 10 a.m. Central Time, right here on the Small Business Thinking Bigger Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome back to Smart Companies Radio. I'm Kelly Scanlon, publisher of Thinking Bigger Business Media. We're visiting here this morning with Susan Spaulding. She is the author of a new book called Recalibrate, a Strategic Guide for Accelerated Growth. And this is a book that will help companies make those adjustments. Some, as Susan pointed out in the first half of the show, some revolutionary, some evolutionary, but it helps you from becoming stagnant, really. And when you become stagnant, you may as well close your doors, especially in this day and age. You can't just expect to do what always worked and be in business for very long. So talk to us about the four different tenets of recalibration that you address in the book.
Okay. Those four different tenets really came about through the market experience that I have that spans many years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really fundamental to how companies navigate their threats and opportunities and what they need to really keep top of mind as they look at those opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
So the first tenet that I talk about is relevance.
Yes.
And relevance sounds pretty simplistic, but oftentimes it can be a challenge. So what do I mean by relevance in this case? It's knowing what matters.
Yes.
It's matching the organizational competencies and goals to current and emerging consumer interests and needs.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it's that balance of relevance to the consumer and relevance to the business.
Sure. For example, you've got lots of examples, but what I thought of immediately when you said that is that at one time Kodak was a thing. I mean, when it came to pictures, it was and then they didn't make the appropriate market adjustments to stay relevant, and we all know what happened. So
that is an example in my book, actually, and it's such a well-known brand
mm-hmm.
to have suffered its loss in the marketplace.
Right, right.
It's really sad.
Yeah, it is. So relevance is very important. You have to stay fresh. You have to be watching those trends. What's the second principle?
The second principle is really about differentiation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the art of differentiation is so important. And it really helps you create the brands that matter. And it doesn't mean it's just about a cute message or something that's whiz-bang around
mm-hmm.
a new product.
Right.
Differentiation comes in lots of different shapes and sizes.
For example?
I'll go back to the thought that, and the example I was using earlier with Newell Rubbermaid in
uh-huh.
terms of a great example of change and an addition. When I was working with them, they set out to be very differentiating, with their product category. At the same time, they were also wrestling with really old legacy mm-hmm. brands and products.
Sure.
And so they looked at differentiation there more from a messaging standpoint. So again, it can come in a lot of different shapes and sizes when you think about differentiation. But if today you're not different than your next door competitor,
right?
Then
yeah.
there's not a lot of value that your consumers see, and your growth strategy simply won't be as impactful as it can be.
Sure, and I think a really important thing to remember there is it's more about the substance than about the fluff. The message is very important, but it's more than just having a cute dog that's in your commercial that gets people's attention for a couple of minutes, but then if the product doesn't work or if it's not providing some kind of value.
You are so right.
Yeah.
It's really all about how you create a sense of value.
Yes.
And I'm thinking back to an organization that I worked with that was an ingredient company.
Mm-hmm.
And they had created this monstrous list of ingredients that they were selling to all the different food companies mm-hmm. that were their customers. They had so many SKUs. There was simply no way that they could keep up.
Mm-hmm.
The other aspect is they put themselves in a really vulnerable position where they allowed themselves to be commoditized, if you will.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And differentiation is all about avoiding
Absolutely.
That trap.
Because then you're only competing on price.
Right.
Yeah.
So when we went out and talked to their customers, they talked about the level of customization of the product, but actually they talked about some of the service angles
mm-hmm.
that this company was providing and the technical support that it was providing, and they would in fact pay more for that.
Okay.
So again, it comes back to differentiation and knowing what that differential really is that creates value for your customer.
Right. And again, talking to the customers, because I've had situations where, and I've used this with other people I've talked to, so it's not a fresh example for me, but insurance companies, they are forever sending out those packages, those envelopes full of return address labels, and as some sort of a value add to their customer. And they go in the recycling bin. They're wasting their money. And I know that's a very minor example, but the point that I'm trying to make is that when you're looking for that value add that you can provide, make sure it's something that your customer thinks is valuable, that you're not wasting your money on, that's not going in somebody's recycling bin or that they don't care about.
Yeah, one of the people that I interviewed for the book, Bill Bernardo with mm-hmm. APC, he defines differentiation as disrupt.
Ah.
And it's a wonderful way to think about it. It's disrupting the way you do your job every day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an internal disruption
right.
to what's going on. But it's also an external disruption. When you look at what's happening in the competitive landscape
mm-hmm.
and you see that you're all talking about the same thing or there's a leader and all the followers immediately catch up just to yeah. see if sameness.
Yeah.
So his push was all about saying
disrupt. Yeah, go ahead.
Another way to think about it, I was talking to John Wendler, who's mm-hmm. with Tractor Supply,
mm-hmm.
and you know they've been incredibly successful.
Right.
And what he talks about in their culture is being relentlessly dissatisfied.
Sure, yeah, I can
see
that. So
that they're constantly looking for ways to change and mm-hmm. ways to improve
exactly.
what they're doing.
Raise that bar, exactly. So it makes me think about we've talked about relevance. And we've talked about disruption, and someone told me once that disruption does not necessarily have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be really time-consuming, and the example that he gave was his wife went and bought a new car, and He says, of course, we've paid thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars for this new car, but do you know what she still talks about to this day? The first time she got in and the trade-in that they had given them, somebody at the dealership had bothered to see what station she listened to and had tuned them into her car whenever. And so when she got on, her favorite stations were already set to go. And he says, we paid thousands and thousands for this car with all these wonderful features. She keeps talking about the fact that her radio stations were already tuned when she got in. But, you know, that was disruptive among all the other clutter, but it didn't cost him anything, I'm sure, to do that.
That's a great example.
Yeah.
I was traveling a great deal the last number of years and had a home sweet home and a Hilton Garden Inn.
Sure.
and you know what made it special was because I would walk in the door and they would say, hi, Susan.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd walk into the dining room, and they'd have my glass of Chardonnay on the table.
There you go.
Or I'd walk in the dining room for breakfast, and they'd have my iced tea
mm-hmm.
on the table, ready to go.
Yeah.
We moved our offices during that time, and the Hilton Garden Inn wasn't quite as convenient, so I switched.
Mm-hmm.
I was there every week, and every week I walked into this other motel. They said, oh, welcome. Have you ever been here before? At least to say I went
out of your way to go back to the Hilton Garden Inn. Sure. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so we've talked about disruption and we've talked about relevance. Relevance was the first one. What is the third one?
The third one is engagement. And we can really go back to disruption and differentiation as kind of the springboard to engagement. Because, you know, when you think about disruption, it can be scary to people.
Sure.
But what you find is that if you engage people in the process
yes.
of disruption, it makes all the difference.
Right. They feel like they have control.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly right. So engagement really comes from the connections that matter.
Okay.
The connections within your company where you have the opportunity to really harness all of the resources and good thinking that already exists within your company.
Mm-hmm.
It's engaging all the people that are influencing the success of your organization. So all those people throughout the value chain, in the distribution channels that you have,
mm-hmm.
and then, of course, your customers.
Yes.
So, again, it's coming back to that engagement and making sure that you're inclusive in that process
right.
rather than too exclusive, and to tear down the silos that can sometimes be built and you're not even realizing that you're missing opportunity that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example. We were examining a product portfolio. This company had a commercial division and an industrial division and a consumer division, and we were talking to the customers in terms of what they were buying. And they were actually buying from all the different divisions. And this company had not taken the time to realize that they were leaving all kinds of opportunity on the table by not cross-selling when they were with their customer.
Sure.
So the customer was just kind of finding
exactly.
these other products.
Yeah, the cross-selling was already occurring, but it was the customer who was doing the investigation, and how much more could they be making if they were actually suggesting to the customer and pointing it out to them. Yeah, that's a great example. So the fourth tenet.
Expression.
Ah.
So we come back to storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
It really means all about what stories that matter. So you can be relevant and you can work very hard to differentiate and engage people in doing it. But if you're not sharing your story,
right.
you've missed a lot of the opportunity. So it means really just finding and delivering the essence of a very clear and compelling story.
Mm-hmm.
And then maintaining that and being very consistent with telling the story.
Exactly. And, you know, the rules have changed so much with social media and the digital platforms that we have. We're not as much in control of the story anymore. And some people would say we're not in control at all. We can put the initial one out there, but then the customers will say, oh, that's not the experience I had. That's not true. I mean, you have to be very careful these days. Can you talk about that a little bit?
I can. As an outgrowth of what I'm doing with Recalibrate, I'm also getting ready to launch another business that's around the use of performance metrics mm-hmm. in a very contemporary way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important because of what you just said. It's not just word of mouth. It's word of device.
Yes.
You know?
That's a great expression.
And
sure.
It's really, how do you capture and see what all the rants
mm-hmm.
and the raves
right.
are. There's just so much out there
right.
that you can see.
Yeah, and some of these companies that get taken by surprise because they're not used to the customers having that much of a voice, and you know, you hear the horror stories of some of the companies that just go and take down the negative comments on social media, and that backfires big time. So yeah, a whole new game, and then you've got the data that you can use too. We're running out of time here, but this is a very, very insightful book. It's something that you can read quickly, which I appreciate, but it's packed with information. And so if somebody would like to get a copy, where would they be able to do that, Susan?
It's on Amazon.
Okay.
So you can certainly go to Amazon and look for Recalibrate, a strategic guide for accelerated growth. And it's both in a printed version as well as a Kindle version.
And how would they get in touch with you if they have questions about some of the tenants in the book, or they just want to talk with you, maybe hire you for recalibrating their business? How would they reach you?
You can certainly email me at susan@recalibratestrategies.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so go out on Amazon, get your book, Recalibrate, a strategic guide for accelerated growth, or you can email susan@recalibratestrategies.com.
And you can go to my website as well.
Okay, recalibratestrategies.com?
Exactly.
All right, and you can get to her through that as well. Thank you so much for your time this morning. Very good information, and I think the big takeaway is you just can't sit still these days.
That's exactly right.
If you'd like to learn more about how to grow your business, you can visit our website at ithinkbigger.com. Follow us on Facebook, Thinking Bigger Business Media, or on Twitter at ithinkbigger. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.